Golden State Media Concepts bring you Book Review Podcast, a haven for bookworms of all ages and the widest genres, from mystery to memoirs, romance to comedy, fantasy to sci-fi. If you love to read, this is the podcast for you. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, Sarah, and it is Thursday, May 3rd, and I don't have an interview today, which is both sad and exciting. It's sad because, as I say all the time, I love the authors that I interview. I have so much respect for them and the work that they do, and I really love talking to them and hearing their stories. But it's exciting because I do so many interviews that I haven't really done very many non-interview episodes. And so it's fun to get to do one of those. Although I sometimes laugh because I've been reading so many books for the interviews, which is awesome, don't get me wrong, but I haven't been reading much else, so I feel like I don't have anything else to talk about on these the non-interview podcasts, to which my husband says, "Oh my gosh, you read like a billion books every year," which is hyperbole, of course, and you've read, you know, your entire life, so I think you could find something to talk about. He doesn't really use that voice, but there is eye rolling involved. So he's right. There are many, 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 many books that I could talk about and would love to chat about. Today, I would like to do a little something around moms because Mother's Day is coming up. I realize that I'm a week early, but it is coming up and I do have two interviews next week. So I will not be doing a non-interview podcast next week unless I added it in special, which I could do, but I have this space, so gonna use it. So moms, I have a lovely mom. Both of my parents have really, really nurtured my love of reading. I've talked about them before on this podcast. My dad is a retired librarian. He was the K-12 librarian in my school growing up. That meant, I've said before, I went K-12 in one building. So the library was in the building, and obviously there was, I didn't have to go far to go to either the library or to find my dad. So that was awesome. But he instilled in me a love of reading, especially reading fantasy books. I get my love of fantasy books from my dad, but my mom was a stay-at-home mom when I was growing up and really, really had so much to do with my my learning to read. I learned to read. I think I could read pretty well. Well, I don't know how well. I could read a little before I went to kindergarten. And I remember her sitting with me and reading, letting me read to her, and how patient she was, because one specific memory I have of her teaching me to read, or letting me read to her, was me trying to sound out the word okay. And I was trying to, you know, I was like, ok, oak, trying to figure it out. And she was very patient, and she didn't just jump in and tell me what it was. She let me stumble through it. And I still remember learning how to sound out the word okay. Which now is kind of funny, but she had infinite amounts of patience when it came to reading with us. And another memory I have of her from reading together, I don't remember if I was reading to her or if she was reading to me, but it was during my Little House on the Prairie phase. And I need to do a love letter to Little House during one of these episodes, because I read those so many times growing up. But as I said, I don't remember if she was reading to me or I was reading to her, but it was the Little House on the Prairie book. And it's that part where the wolves are howling one night, and I can't remember the line. It was something about the next morning when Laura wakes up, and it's after the night of all the howling and them being kind of scared of the wolves. And there was a line, and Mom was teasing me that the line meant that Laura got eaten by wolves. And I was so mad at her. I was so mad at her. I was literal. I was a very literal kid. Still tend to be pretty literal sometimes now. I like to think literary, but definitely a literal kid. And I was so mad at her. Oh, I was just furious because she was teasing me that Laura had gotten eaten by wolves. And I was arguing with her that she couldn't possibly have been eaten by wolves. She's still in the story. I've read the other books. I know there are other books. I know she grows up. And yeah, I don't remember how we resolved it, but those are some of the memories that really stick in my head of learning to read and reading with my mom and just having her encourage me. And we still talk about books to this day. We talk about the books that we've read, and I send her books that I have gotten from authors so she can read them too, so we can talk about them. And I just love having that connection with her. She got her love of reading from her mother, my grandma Sylvia, and I would spend usually a couple of weeks in the summer with grandma. And grandma loved to read, and I would go to the library with her. She would go, I think, at least once a week, maybe once every couple of weeks, depending. And I would go with her and just be fascinated because her library was bigger than our library. My hometown is about 1,000 people, and I was convinced that my mom's hometown was a city, even though no one outside of Montana would consider Libby, Montana a city. I have no idea what the population was when I was growing up, but it was definitely bigger than 1,000 people by quite a bit. And so their library was bigger, and I was impressed. And I would go with my grandmother, and she would just get this stack of books every time she went, and I just wanted to grow up and be like her and go to the library and get all these amazing books. The thing about my grandmother that cracked me up, though, was she loved to read, obviously. She would take me with her to the library, but when I would go visit her in the summer, I would be sitting and reading like I always did, and she would always say, "Oh, poor baby, so bored," and I'd be like, "I'm not bored. I've got a book. I've got books. I am perfectly content." And I've said before that, you know, my mom would sometimes kick me out during the summer to go get some sunshine and some fresh air and go get some exercise because I would be perfectly content to just sit inside and read. And so my grandmother's saying, I don't know if she was teasing me, if she thought that was, my grandmother had a very, very dry sense of humor. She, I don't know if her being Norwegian had anything to do with it, but she was Norwegian and she had a very dry sense of humor. And she would, it was just the thing she would always say, "Oh, poor baby, so bored." And I could never convince her that, "No, grandma, I am not bored. You do not have to entertain me. I am perfectly content exactly where I am at one of my favorite places in the world, at my grandparents' house, with one of my favorite activities in the world, which was reading. So you did not have to convince me that I needed to be entertained while at grandma and grandpa's house during the summer. So that's my grandmother and my mother, two moms that I am so, so grateful for in my life. And then the third mom I want to talk about for this segment of the podcast is my sister. Obviously, she's not my mom, but she is the mother of two of my nieces. They are currently, oh my gosh, 12 and a half and seven. 12 and a half and seven, which are really fun ages. But growing up, we didn't always get along, my sister and I. We had to share a room. She's 6.5 years older than I am. She's a neat freak. I'm not. We rubbed each other the wrong way on a regular basis. And I've apologized to her profusely for being a really bratty younger sister a lot of her growing up years. But we had books in common again, and we would talk about books that we had read. And I remember one time when my sister was, we had an exercise bike. And so we went through a period where she would have me read to her while she was on the exercise bike. We didn't have audiobooks as we know them now. And I don't think we ever owned or checked out books on tape really at that point. So she would have me read to her, and it was so much fun. I got to hang out with my big sister, and I got to read to her, and I got to read a book that she was reading and that I then got interested in. So win-win-win all the way around. But then as our relationship evolved, obviously, as we got older, then she now has two children. And when I go home to Montana, I try to spend time with them as well, obviously, and have sleepovers with my nieces. And they read together before bed every night. And so as my nieces have grown up and as I have spent time at their house, I've gotten to partake in that bedtime ritual. Sometimes I've gotten to read with them, which of course I love. I love reading to my nieces whenever I get the chance. But I've also gotten to listen to my sister read to them. And that is so much fun for me because, A, I get to watch them bond in this way over something that I love and something that they love. And I get to listen to my sister read to her kids. And she's really good at it. And she does, you know, she does voices with them. And she has this presence about her when she reads to them that I just love to watch. It's so much fun. In fact, I did a podcast. Oh, it's been a while. I don't even remember what episode it is. I can look it up for you. About Junie B. Jones and Ramona, my Feisty Girls podcast. I read Ramona Cleary growing up, but I learned about Junie B. Jones because my sister was reading it to my nieces one time when I was home, and I just loved how she read it and the words that the author of Junie B. uses. I mean, Junie B. says things like she's hottish and sweatish, and the way my sister would read Junie B.'s character and the things that she did, I had to go out and read the books for myself after I left to just kind of have that connection with them. So my mom, my grandma, and my sister, three amazing women that I am so happy and so fortunate to have in my life, celebrating them a little bit on Mother's Day by talking about them and books. Many of my favorite things, so how can I go wrong there? We are going to take our first break of the podcast, but when we come back, we're going to be talking a little bit about some children's books that I loved growing up. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, and I will be right back.
Still on the search of that one true love? On the limbo in this crazy world of dating, marriage, relationships? Well, listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Relationship Podcast, your one-stop podcast for everything about relationships.
Welcome back to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, my Mother's Day episode, I guess, if you will. So before the break, I was talking about some of the moms in my life, my mom, my sister, and my grandmother, and the influence that they had on me growing up and beyond my growing up years as to the books that I have read and shared with them, etc. I want to talk now a little bit about some of the books that I loved growing up because of my love of reading. I've talked about some of them already. I've talked about the Ramona Cleary books. I've talked about the Betsy Tacy books. But since it's Mother's Day, you know, I thought I would think about some of the books that I read with my mom. And some of the books that I loved growing up were Mercer Mayer and his books, something about his mom. I wanted to do this just for you, and he's always messing things up. So he wanted to make breakfast just for you. That's what it's called, just for you. I wanted to make breakfast just for you, but you know, the eggs were slippery, and he broke the eggs on the floor. And I wanted to, you know, I was going to take my bath and no splashing, but just for you. But there was a storm, and you know, and he splashed all over the bathroom. I loved that book growing up. I loved pretty much all of Mercer Mayer's books and still do. But I love Just For You because he's trying so hard. And it's this, and mom has this exasperated eye rolling look on her face through much of the book. But you can also tell that she's appreciative that he's trying, that little critter is trying to do things for her. Just, she's, you know, not terribly thrilled that she then has to clean up after him. And then, of course, at the end of the book, he wants to do something special just for her, and he does it. You know, he says he loves her, and he gives her a flower, and they have a hug, and it's very, very sweet. I love Mercer Mayer. Something else that my mom used to read with me was Richard Scarry, and I had Monster Bedtime Stories. Loved that book, and my mom and I actually still say, all day to each other, which is one of the monsters in the book isn't feeling well, and he sighs. He's sighing all day because he doesn't feel well, and what he's actually doing is sighing all day. And it turns out that he doesn't feel well because he ate a boot. Oh, little monster, don't eat the boot. It's going to make you sick. But I loved that story, and my mom would read it to me, and I would read it with her, and I just have this soft spot in my heart for monster's bedtime stories. And I will, you know, sometimes when we sigh, we still sigh all day. So those are things that stick in my memory from children's books. Another children's book that I love that I didn't read growing up because it didn't exist, but that I discovered several years ago when my nephew was younger. Actually, he's the son of my best friend, but still, he's my nephew. So when he was younger, I was looking for books that he might enjoy because, again, my best friend is a wonderful mom, which ties in with the theme of this episode. She's a wonderful mom, loves to read to her son, and they read together. So when he was about 3 or 4, I found the series Bear in Underwear. The first book is actually called Bear in Underwear, and frankly, 3 and 4 year olds think that the word underwear is hilarious anyway, or anything to do with pants or just any of that stuff. So it's this bear, and he has forest friends, and they go on adventures and do all these things. But he is a bear who is in, as the title says, underwear. He is wearing a little pair of tighty whities, which is just hilarious. Even I think it's hilarious. And at one point in the first book, then all of his friends end up wearing some various forms of underwear. In another book, he's playing soccer with his friends, and his underpants get dyed pink in the wash, I think, and then they decide that they're good luck. I'm messing up the story, but then at some point everybody on the soccer team ends up with pink underwear, which that I love because I think they're all boys on the team, but they're all wearing pink underwear, so go with some gender bending. I love that. But Bear in Underwear, it rhymes, it's about underpants. It's got all the things that you need for a good children's book, right? I am wondering, as I am chatting at you, not really with you because you're not here with me in the studio, that would be awesome if I could just invite you all here to have a talk about books. I'm wondering what your favorite childhood books are, or if you have a memory about your mom or a mother figure in your life, doesn't have to be a biological mom, who read to you or inspired a love of reading in you. What were the books that you loved growing up? What were the books that that mom, that mother figure taught you to read or taught you to love? What are those memories that you have? I would love to hear from you. I know I say this a lot, but it's true. I would love to hear from you. So go on social media and hit me up. One of these, maybe with one of these days around Mother's Day, I'll actually put up a question of what books did your mom read to you when you were growing up, and I would love for you to go onto Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Those are our social media sites, and tell me what books you read as a child, or tell me if you are a parent, what books you read with your child. Tell me what books your parents read with you, etc. It's all about parents and books today on the GSMC Book Review Podcast. So what else? What other books did you love growing up? I read a lot of the same things that my siblings read, of course, because I was young. I am the youngest. My brother's 4 years older than I am, and I already mentioned my sister is 6.5 years older than I, so I really looked up to both of them. Read a lot of Encyclopedia Brown because my brother did, and actually my brother used to just read the encyclopedia. Go, brother! They don't really have encyclopedias anymore. It's all online, but we actually had a set of encyclopedias growing up, and you know, you went to the shelf and you got the appropriate letter and you looked up what you were wanting to know about and you read the entry. So he just read through them for fun, and he has a brain that holds a lot of trivia now, so he got that. So I like I said, I read a lot of Encyclopedia Brown because my brother did, and I had a lot of hero worship going on. My sister, I've already talked a little bit about her and my reading to her while she rode the exercise bike, and I'm sure she read to me some when I was growing up. I don't remember much of that, but I'm sure she did because she was a wonderful big sister. What other books did I read with my mom? I'm sure I've mentioned before that I got books pretty much for every gift-giving opportunity, Christmas, birthdays, Easter, etc. And so my parents obviously had a lot of influence on what I read in that way. I've done a podcast episode on E.L. Konigsberg, who my parents bought for me for birthdays at some point, and I loved. And E.L. Konigsberg was fascinating. She wrote some really crazy, not crazy, but I mean, like, she had some really interesting storylines, and, you know, they had magic, some of them, and they had adventurous children, and I loved her. And it's E.L. Konigsberg, so I didn't find out until later that it was a woman, and I was just even more ecstatic that a woman had written these books that I loved so much, because E.L. Konigsberg could have been a man, could have been a woman. I don't know. Did I not read the author bio at the back? Was there not an author bio at the back? Who knows? Not I. So what else? Betsy Tacy. She got me hooked on those. Little Golden Books. I realize that's, you know, a huge category of books, but we had so many Little Golden Books that I can't even keep track of how many we had. And I loved reading those. They were fun because they were picture books, but they had more words. And so I felt very grown up when I was reading Little Golden Books. Some of my favorite Little Golden Books were the Disney Little Golden Books. I had Cinderella and Snow White. And I'm showing my age because of the Disney princesses that I loved. But that's okay. So I'm going to take my second break of the podcast. And when I come back, I'm just going to be nostalgic some more about moms and books and that kind of stuff. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, and I will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Book Review Podcast and my ode to all things moms and books and childhood and nostalgia, etc. I was thinking about books over the break, and one thing that popped into my head that I hadn't planned on talking about, but that now I just have to, is the Mrs. Pigglewiggle books. Have you read the Mrs. Pigglewiggle books? They're old. I mean, I think they came out originally in the 40s or 50s, maybe. Mrs. Pigglewiggle isn't actually a mom in the books. She has no children. She and her husband were not blessed with children of their own, but Mrs. Pigglewiggle has more children than anyone because all of the children in the neighborhood, in the town that she lives in, love her. She has a farm in one book, and they love to come visit her at the farm. She has an upside-down house in another book, and the children come, and she lets them comb her hair and dress it up and do all these things. She lets them have tea parties. She lets them play dress-up. They play pirates and princesses and all of these different games together, and she doesn't care if the house gets messy. She lets them play. She makes them cookies. She just lets the children be children, and she loves them no matter what. But she also has very interesting parenting methods, ways of helping parents with their children when the children are being stubborn or when the children have developed bad habits. So here are some examples. Mrs. Pigglewiggle has a pig, and this pig has extraordinarily good manners. So if your child was just going through a bad mannered phase, then you could borrow Mrs. Pigglewiggle's pig, and he would come and live with your child and teach him proper manners. I love the contrast there of the pig teaching the manners. It's a very well-mannered pig, let me tell you. So, you know, the pig knows where to put his napkin when he's eating, and he knows how to properly eat his porridge so he's not making a mess, and how to, you know, not slurp his tea, etc. Another one, the children don't want to take a bath, and so Mrs. Pigglewiggle says, don't force them. Just wait until they get really, really dirty and then plant radish seeds in the dirt. So the children go to bed one night and then they wake up the next morning and they have little sprouts coming out of the dirt in their skin. I don't know. Do children ever get that dirty? I mean, I'm sure they could, but oh, that used to crack me up as a kid. And clearly it still does, since I'm sitting here by myself in a studio laughing hysterically about moms planting radishes in the dirt of their children's necks. So my parents got me the first of my Mrs. Pigglewiggle books. I don't know if it was the first one written when I was younger, and I loved them, and so they got me more in the series. I don't think I had the whole series growing up, but then a few years ago, I decided to see if my library had them and checked them out to read again. And yes, they're old-fashioned. I mean, they're written at a different time, and some different things are going on in the world of parenting at the time that they were written. But still, Mrs. Pigglewiggle's love of children shines through, and she does everything out of love for the children that she interacts with, and she has so many tricks up her sleeve for helping them to learn how to make good choices and how to be kind to one another and how to listen to their parents. So Mrs. Pigglewiggle, I didn't want her to be my mom growing up because I loved my mom, but I did want to go visit her, and I wanted to, she always smells like cookies, and she's, you know, got the grandmotherly shape and she's in all the covers. She's always got lots of children hanging around her and just looking joyful and ecstatic to be around Mrs. Pigglewiggle. I love her. And just the fact that her name is Mrs. Pigglewiggle and she has a pig is sheer perfection in my book. In my book, didn't actually mean to use that bad pun. Finally, one more reminiscence about books and my mom, and this is really more of what a saint my mother was in terms of encouraging me to read without wanting to just, I don't know, scream because I was so literal and so obsessed with different things. And that is, they got me a joke book one year for my birthday or Christmas, or maybe just because, and I think they probably regret it to this day, because I had to tell them the jokes in that joke book over and over and over again, and I insisted that they laugh. My favorite joke, and maybe I've told you this joke before, but you're going to hear it again, and I insist that you laugh. My favorite joke in this joke book was, what's green and flies? And the answer is, super pickle. It's not funny. But there was an illustration of a pickle with a cape, and he was doing the Superman, you know, the arm outstretched, and I thought that was the funniest thing on the planet. And for possibly months, I would tell this joke multiple times a day, and I would insist that my family laugh at this joke. I'm sure my siblings were over it very quickly and just probably told me to shut up and leave them alone, as only siblings can do. But my mom, God bless her and her loving mother ways, would actually let me tell her that joke over and over and over again. Mom, you are a saint, and I love you for instilling a love of reading in me. Thank you so very much. Thank you for introducing me to books. Thank you for reading with me. Thank you for teaching me to read. Thank you for listening to What's Green and Flies, Super Pickle, 8 bajillion, kajillion, I don't even know how many gazillion times in my life. You are awesome, and I love you, and I am very lucky to have been born into the family that I was born into. I think on the very, very terrible Super Pickle joke, I'm going to wrap things up for this episode. So thank you, as always, for joining me for another episode of the GSMC Book Review Podcast. Join me again on Tuesday when we have more author interviews, and this time we have a return author, someone that I've already had on the podcast who is returning with her second novel. That is author Jasmine Silvera. When she was on the podcast the first time, we talked about her debut novel, which was called Death's Dancer, and now we have the follow-up to that book, Dancer's Flame. It's great. I love talking to Jasmine. She is so much fun to talk to. So definitely tune in on Tuesday and hear my interview with author Jasmine Silvera. And another giveaway. You can enter to win a copy of Death's Dancer for next Dancer's Flame. I'm going to get this right, I swear to you. So you need to tune in next week to find out more about Dancer's Flame, and because really Jasmine is fabulous and you will love listening to her. So thank you for joining me here at the GSMC Book Review Podcast. Join me again on Tuesday. In the meantime, get out there and get yourself lost in a good book.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.